my PhD is done. I'm handing the class today. In the second chapter, that is up till now, what Dr. Piccone had been handling was to do with classification. Now you'll again hear things like likelihood, Bayesian, but all this is in the framework of estimation. The main difference is, if you see this first point here, so in chapter 2, we learned how to design an optimal classifier if we knew the prior probabilities and class conditional densities. So if we knew both this, the class conditional densities and the prior probabilities, we can classify using, say, a kind of likelihood approach or a Bayesian or minimax criterion or so many other methods. But how do we know what these probabilities are? So where does this information come from? Typically, we don't have this information. If I give you a kind of a pattern classifier problem, you wouldn't know what these probabilities are. So how do you handle this situation? So the first step in this way is to assume a kind of a parametric form for the probabilities. Say we might assume it's a Gaussian with unknown mean but known variance, for example. So in this case, now the problem reduces to how do you find the mean, the unknown mean. So this is parameter estimation, which is distinct from classification. Initially, you might get a bit confused between just seeing the equations, whether it's a classification or estimation, because the kind of terminology is very similar, like likelihood and Bayesian estimation. So there are two common approaches to parameter estimation. One is maximum likelihood, the other is Bayesian estimation. In this class today, we will mostly deal with maximum likelihood. Bayesian estimation will be dealt with later. So maximum likelihood, we treat the parameters as quantities whose values are fixed but unknown. That's just like a Gaussian. Let's say we got some data. We assume it's a Gaussian random variable. And we also assume, say, we know the variance, say, as 1. But we don't know the mean. But we know that the mean has got to be something like, say, 1, 2, or some specific value that is fixed. In this case, we are dealing with a maximum likelihood method. We'll elaborate on this in the next few slides. In a Bayes estimation, we treat the parameters as random variables having some known prior distribution. Observations of samples convert this to posterior. So what we mean by this is, as I said just now, in maximum likelihood, we assume that the mean is unknown, but it's fixed at some value, say 3 or 1 or whatever it is. But in Bayes, even this parameter is assumed to have a random distribution. That itself could be a Gaussian. So this is it's a kind of a doubly stochastic assumption. That is, the first stochastic or the randomness comes from the randomness of the samples itself. That is, the data X itself is random. So that is the first randomness. In Bayes, the second randomness comes from the fact that we assume even the parameter itself is random. The parameter like the mean or the variance that we are going to estimate, even that itself is random. So that's the main difference between maximum likelihood and Bayes. Methods like maximum likelihood come under the branch of statistics known as classical statistics. Bayes is somewhat relatively new. So this is non-classical or Bayes statistics. So in Bayes learning, we sharpen the a posteriori density, causing it to peak near the true value. So if you remember from the second chapter, we had two terms. One is the likelihood and then the prior, which go together to form the a posteriori probability. So in Bayes learning, we try to maximize the a posteriori density, and as we get more and more data, it gets more and more sharper and gets peaked near the true value. But anyway, we will go back to maximum likelihood and deal with this in this present lecture. So first, we'll formulate the general principles of maximum likelihood estimation. Maximum likelihood estimation method was pioneered by Fisher, R.A. Fisher, Ronald A. Fisher. He was around the beginning of this 20th century. He was a geneticist and also a very famous statistician. You might have heard his name with in connection to F-test, Fisher test. So he formed the F-distribution. Okay, so we'll, just like most of what we do in pattern recognition course or even in our research, we'll assume that as a first approximation that the data sets are all in the IID. That is, we have C classes to classify and we've got data from every class. So such a problem is called a supervised classification. That is, we have got, say, two classes, and we have got separately data for first class and separate data for second class. So in this case, it's supervised. On the contrary, if we don't have these class labels, that this data belongs to this class, this data belongs to the second class, we don't have these class labels, it's called unsupervised problem. So here we are dealing with supervised problem, where we have C classes, and we have data from each of the class with class labels. So the data in D1, all of them belong to class 1. So similarly till class 3. And we assume all these are independent. That is, every data point in each of these classes is independent and identically distributed within the same class. By that, what I mean is, if you take D1, all the samples in D1 have the same distribution. But they are all identically, they are all independent. So, when you dealt with classifier, you already knew that this probability, this likelihood P of X, the data given the class, this probability distribution you already knew, you assumed you knew that. But here, in this lecture, we are going to assume we just know a parametric form. For example, like this. We'll assume that it's got a normal distribution with unknown mean and variance. In this case, a covariance matrix. So the set of parameters for this distribution would be all the means of all the classes and all the covariance of all the classes. So this is now what we'll have to do is estimate these parameters. So this is where parameter estimation comes from. That is, we have got a parametric form for the distribution, and we estimate the parameters. So P of X given omega j has the explicit dependence on the parameters theta j. So we also indicate this using this notation, P of X given omega j, comma, theta j. So now the problem is to estimate these parameters given training samples. So this is a reiteration of what I told before. We assume functional independence. Here it also says, in addition to being the samples being independent within the same class, it's also data from DI, class I, doesn't give any information from about parameters in class J. So since we assume the samples are independent, we can write this overall probability of data given parameters in this form. We can write it as a product. So this simplifies our dealing with this maximum likelihood method. Okay, so probability of data given theta, the parameters, is called likelihood of theta with respect to the data. And our primary goal in maximum likelihood estimation is to find the parameters theta such that this likelihood P of D given theta is maximized. So this is expressed in this in these figures. If you see here, we are assuming we just have only one single dimension for data x. So, and we assume that we just need to find the mean, and we also know the variance of the Gaussian random variable. That's the model that we assume. So the distribution can be any of these. All of these, if you see, have the same variance, but the mean, depending upon where the mean is, the actual true mean is, distribution can be placed anywhere. And these are the data points. So how do we know which is the correct distribution that generated these data points? Here, in this down below, what we see here is the likelihood, that is P of data given theta versus theta. And we see here, this is the function. What we should be careful here is, this is not a probability distribution function. The area need not sum to 1, because it's not a function of probability of D given theta given the x. The x-axis here is theta. So this is not a probability distribution function. It's just a criterion, a cost function, which we are supposed to maximize. So here, in this case, the theta where this P of T, D given theta is maximized is around 3. So this we would claim as the maximum likelihood estimate. And the other thing is, typically it's much more difficult to deal with direct likelihood. Instead, we talk about log likelihood for several reasons. I don't know if we talked about this in the previous classes. Did we? Why we use log? Did he? Okay, so what are the reasons he gave? Right. But then can we use any function instead of log, whichever function spreads out? Yeah, that's true. That's second reason. And so can we use anything which gives any function which gives you the argument? What I'm saying is, how is it justified? We are trying to find the maximum in the likelihood domain. Now what we are trying to say is, instead of finding maximum in the likelihood domain, we will find the maximum in the log likelihood domain. So how is it justified? Will both these be the same? In what case will both these be the same? Did you get my question? That is, I can say instead of log, I can use a squared. Assume in this case it satisfies the rest of the conditions. But that won't do, because the maximum here may not be the maximum here. So that's because it's monotonic. Log is monotonic. So whenever you get the maximum in the theta domain, so in the likelihood domain, you will also get the maximum in the log likelihood domain. Okay, so in general, if you assume theta, there are p parameters, this is the overall number of parameters, and this notation, del of theta, is the derivative with respect to all these parameters, this parameter vector. So this is notation for that. And so we define log likelihood, L of theta, as ln of P of d given theta. And our objective in maximum likelihood estimation method is to find the theta. This is the notation, argmax of theta given L of theta. What this means is, find the value of theta for which this argument L of theta is maximized. So when we substitute for L of theta from here, this becomes ln of P of D given theta. And assuming the conditional independence, the IID of samples, we can split this as a product. Oh, it should have carried over this argmax even here. Yeah, there should be argmax of theta even here in these. It's just substituted for L of theta here. So because of this ln of this product, this becomes summation of logs. So now the ML, so this is the log, but now we need to find the maximum, where the maximum value of this occurs. So we need to differentiate this with respect to theta and equate it to zero to find where the maximum is. So the solution to this equation can be a global maximum, a local maximum, or even an inflection point. Actually, it can even be minimum. So how do you know this is a global maximum? All we are doing is just equating this derivative to zero. So how do you know whether it's a minimum or a local maximum or an inflection point? Yeah, that's a very good answer. So that would be like you take the second derivative and check it. But theoretically you can do that, but theoretically every time we don't do it in practice because it gets really very messy, because all we have is just some data points. So how do we know, how do you exactly compute these second derivatives? But most of the distributions that we assume would have a nice parabolic and a quadratic shape. So once you have quadratic shape, there's just going to be only one mode, just a maximum or a minimum. So in which case, only thing we'll have to differentiate is whether it's a maximum or a minimum. But it cannot be a minimum because it cannot have likelihood increasing in both directions till infinity. So it's got to be a maximum at just one point for most of the data points that we take and most of the distributions that we take. So in practice, if we equate it to zero, this differential of likelihood will, in most cases, we'll get a maximum, at least a local maximum. This is just a digression to deal with a related method called MAP, maximum a posteriori estimation. Similar to what you did in Bayes estimation, we can also, in addition to the likelihood, we can also talk about the posterior, which is the product of likelihood and the prior. So, in this case, this is called a maximum a posteriori. Here, instead of maximizing just the likelihood, here we maximize this product, the posterior, and try to find where for which theta this posterior is maximized. That's why it's called maximum a posteriori. When would MAP be equivalent to ML? When would MAP, this maximum a posteriori, be equivalent to maximum likelihood? That is the only difference is, so if it's just maximum likelihood, we are just going to talk about L of theta. So if it's maximum a posteriori, we have got this product. So what is the only difference? Yeah, the prior. So this P of theta is the prior. So whenever we have prior information which is not uniform, then these two would differ. But if P of theta is uniform, assume it's just say 1 throughout the range for which you deal, the parameters you're dealing with, it's uniform in that range. Then it doesn't give any new information. So P of theta is just 1 throughout the range. So it's just L of theta. So it reduces to a maximum likelihood estimation. So an ML estimator is a MAP estimator for uniform priors. In MAP estimator, we find the peak or mode of a posterior density. Because as we saw, this again a posterior density, and we find the mode. Mode is the where the maximum occurs. But the problem with MAP estimators is they are not transformation invariant. Especially if you perform a nonlinear transformation, then the estimator is no longer optimum. That is, if we transform the data then this what we maximize here with the new data, the transformed data won't be the same as maximization with respect to the original data. So this is just left as an aside. It'll be useful later. Okay, now let's do a few examples. The first example is the simplest of the cases possible. We assume the mean is unknown, but the variance is known. And what we have is a Gaussian random variable, a normal variable. So consider the case where only the mean, theta equals mu, is unknown. Now, if we... we see here, this was the equation that we had. This is what we need to find and solve this to find theta, to find the ML estimate. So that's what we are doing here. Now, what is log of P of xk given theta? Now we will first take just one sample, the likelihood of just one sample given theta. So that would be ln of P of xk given theta, and if you substitute for probability of xk given theta, which is a Gaussian random variable, that is just this, what is in this argument. Logarithm of that, we can separate out this part, the denominator, separately, and then logarithm of this exponential, the argument just comes off separate. Now, so when you differentiate this with respect to theta, which is mu in this case, the mean, this reduces to just the covariance inverse times xk minus theta. That's because, so when you differentiate this, you can take this inside, this differential dou by dou theta. You can take this inside, and this becomes zero because this is a constant with respect to theta. The covariance is considered a constant with respect to the mean. So this is zero. And here, this is somewhat equivalent to, if you had a scalar, so this will be x squared, and this will be just a constant. So that's why we get this. So the negative sign, there's a negative sign here, that goes off because they've got minus theta here. So when you differentiate with respect to theta, dou by dou theta, you'll get another negative sign. So the negative sign also cancels. And the 2 vanishes off because similar to, since we have squared here, xk minus theta squared, the 2 also cancels out. So this is what we are left with. So this is the derivative with respect to just one sample. Now we need to take it to all the samples that we have and then equate it to zero. So this is the total likelihood. The total log likelihood. So this is del of L is the summation of del of log of the likelihood of each sample. So that reduces from our previous slide. This reduces to summation of the covariance inverse times xk minus theta equals zero for maximum likelihood solution. So now rearranging terms. The better way to explain this is now we can multiply both sides by the constant of covariance matrix. So 0 times covariance matrix till 0. And since the covariance matrix is constant, you can take it in. And covariance matrix times this inverse becomes I, the identity matrix. So I can just remove that. So what all we have is just summation of xk minus theta hat. Now we can split this into two parts. And since this is a constant, you just get the same, you can take this theta hat out, and you just get one sum n times. So this is n times theta hat. Therefore, theta hat is 1 by n summation of xk. from k, from where k goes from 1 to n. So what is the significance of this? Yeah, right. So all along what we have been doing is finding the average. Whenever you're given a problem and when someone asks you to find the mean, you just find the average, right? So this one shows that it's what we have been doing is optimal in this sense. It's a maximum likelihood estimate. In fact, if we have, there are also some other methods like least squares. Here if you find least squares, it's also optimal in the sense of least squares. So this is nice to know that what we have been doing has some theoretical background and theoretically sound. So the next, we can add a little more complication to this problem by assuming both mean and variance are unknown, which makes more sense because typically we don't know even the variance. There's no point assuming that we know the variance. So the theta that we have two parameters, the mean and the variance. For now, we'll assume just a scalar case. And just like the previous case, we'll do this for just a single point, xk, and then sum it over all the points, all the data points. So log, the log likelihood of this data point xk given the parameter is this, minus half log of 2 pi theta 2, where theta 2 is sigma squared, the variance, and theta 1 is mu, the mean. So the log likelihood of this data point is minus half log of 2 pi theta 2 minus 1 by 2 theta 2 xk minus theta 1 squared into theta by theta 2. So if you differentiate this with respect to theta 1. So if you remember this, the del operator, we'll have to differentiate this with respect to the first parameter and leave it here, and differentiate this with respect to the second parameter and leave it at the second element of the column. So if you differentiate this expression with respect to theta 1, what we get is this is constant with respect to theta 1, so this goes off to 0. This part, the second term, so again, this part is constant. You can just keep it as it is. So what we have is xk minus theta 1 squared into theta 2 inverse. So this is you get 2 xk minus 1 theta 1 if you differentiate this part. So that goes to xk minus theta 1. Oh, yeah, this shouldn't have been there. This, he has already written this as 2 theta 2 here. He shouldn't have put this inverse here. Is that right? What is it there? No, I'm saying even this expression itself, it just should have been 1 over 2 theta 2, isn't it? Yeah, this is... Yeah, this is the expression that we have. Yeah, so it should be 1 by 2 theta 2, which is sigma squared. Yes, already had, he already has theta 2 here, so we don't need this here. Okay. So that's why we just have 1 over theta 2, and since this is xk minus theta 1 squared, when you differentiate that, you get 2 times xk minus theta 1. So the 2 cancels out, so you just get xk minus theta 1. So next we differentiate with respect to theta 2. This one you get as minus half. Since it's ln, you can split it, this log of 2 pi theta 2, we can split it as log 2 pi plus log theta 2. Right? So log of AB is log A plus log B. So differential of log this constant is, so you can neglect this 2 pi factor after you write it as log of sums. So what all you have is minus 1 by 2 and log of theta 2, when you differentiate it, you get 1 by theta 2. So that is the differential of this part. And for this part, the differential is, if you neglect this, which is wrong, what we have is xk minus theta 1 squared. This would be a constant with respect to theta 2. And what we have is, we have to differentiate is 1 by 2 theta 2 is what we have to differentiate. So if you leave 2 as it is, so this would be theta power minus 2. Yeah, there should be a 3, isn't it? No, it's theta power minus... Yeah, this is right. It just changes the sign. Theta 2 power minus 1 is what we have here. So when you differentiate it, it just changes the sign and you get theta 2 squared. Okay. So now this is the log likelihood for just a single sample xk. Now if we had n samples, we just, and if we can equate this whole thing to zero. So that means we equate this part to zero and we equate this part to zero. So for the first, first element, they get this equation. That is summation k goes from 1 to n of 1 by theta 2 xk minus theta 1 half equals 0. And similarly for the second element, summation k equals 1 to n of minus 1 by theta to 2 times theta 2 plus xk minus, so this brought on here, equals 0. So this equals xk minus theta 1 squared. If you multiply throughout by theta 2, that's what you would get. Theta 2 squared. If you multiply throughout by theta 2 squared, you will get this. So do you all agree with this? Is this okay? Okay, so this leads to these equations. The theta 1, which is the mean, is 1 by n summation of xk. Because that's what we had here. So if you multiply throughout by theta 2 hat, this one goes off. And what we have is summation of xk minus theta 1, similar to the previous problem. So we are just left with this, the same solution for the mean. And for theta 2, which is the variance, so this is what we had. Here again, theta 2 is a constant. Remember, for maximum likelihood, we assume that the parameter is unknown but a constant, a fixed constant. Of course, fixed is constant. So I can just take the theta 2 hat out, and we just get 1 sum n times. So it's just n times theta 2 hat. So theta 2 hat would be, if you bring the n here, theta 2 hat is this summation divided by n. That's exactly what we have here. And if we actually do this whole thing in the multivariate case, we've just did this for the scalar case. If we did this for the multivariate case, this would be somewhat similar. This just reduces to the same thing, but just the all the data vectors. Here for the mean, and here for the covariance, this would be the covariance vector, just as we would normally compute. So the true covariance is the expected value of the matrix xk minus mu hat multiplied by xk minus mu hat transpose, which is a familiar result. That's all for today. Any questions? Do any of you have questions on the homeworks? Yeah? Yeah. Well, that's all. If you want, you can leave. If you want to discuss, you can stay.
That's it.